Ephesians chapter 3. I'm continuing part 2 of Supernatural Man. P.C. Nelson. P.C. Nelson is a Bible scholar, wrote a lot of the doctrinal books for the Assemblies of God churches. And he said the number one need of the world today is Jesus. The number one need of the church today is the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times we talk about the Holy Spirit, or the concept of the Holy Spirit is always, you know, tongue talking, prophesying, laughing, running, joking, things like that, you know. But it's not everything he does. A lot of times we look at that being the only thing he does. The Holy Spirit is involved in our lives so intricately that you really can't. Me personally, you can't lead a successful Christian life without having the Holy Spirit, without hearing from Him, being led by Him. Actually, John 16, Jesus said this. He said, "It is to your advantage that I go away." He says, "Because if I don't go, He, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, or the Paraclete in Greek, He won't come. But then when He does come," He said, "He'll lead you, guide you into all truth. He'll remind you of things that I've said to you. He'll show you things to come." And so, you know, one of the main things, we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, we want to hear His voice. We want to know what direction He's taking us to. You know, what we're supposed to do with our lives. You know, the Holy Spirit knows the end from the beginning, correct? I mean, He's already written down the book of Revelation. He gave it to us. John wrote it, but He spoke the book of Revelation, the end of time, to a man, so He knows the end. If He knows the end of the world, He knows the end of your life. And if He knows the end of your life, He knows He's come back to grab you by the hand and walk you through this life to get you where you need to be. Amen? You know, there's a will of God, there's a plan of God for your life. And the way to follow that, of course, is by the Word of God, but secondly, it's by the Holy Spirit. Since He knows your life from the end, before you were born, He knew you were going to be born. He knew what the plan of God for your life. He's been there. He already wrote the book on your life. So He's basically come here now, and He's just grabbed a hold of us. He said, "Come, I'll take you to there, to that place." Amen? So that's, you know, that's one of His main purposes, is He's our helper. He leads us. He guides us. He speaks to us. He shows us how to conduct ourselves. The Bible says that it's the Holy Spirit that has shed the love of God in our hearts. He is the one who pours the love of God in our hearts. You know, so the love that we have is from the Holy Spirit. And He's here to walk with us. He's our paraclete, which in the Greek means that He walks alongside of us. He's step by step with us every step of the way. And not only that, you know, we talked about Him clothing us. He comes upon us with power, and He comes in us. And it's amazing how we have God living in us. We have a genius on the inside of us, right? He's a genius, isn't He? He created everything. And so wouldn't it be nice every now and then to let the genius speak? You know, sometimes it's good for us to shut our heads off and tap into the genius inside of us and let Him tell us what the right thing to do is. It's a real shame to have a genius living inside of you and never let Him speak to you. Amen. He's a genius. He's God. He created everything. And it's amazing to just leave Him in here just locked up, you know, like put a mask and tape around His mouth and don't let Him say anything. No, He's here to speak to us. And the Bible says this, that, you know, men were compelled, were led, were prompted by the Holy Spirit. So He's a gentleman. He speaks to us by promptings, by little compellings, you know, by little, maybe you shouldn't do that. That's how He leads us. And it's our responsibility to listen to Him. He, like I said, He's a gentleman. He won't make you do anything. It's real important. God will never make you do anything. He'll prompt you to do things. He said, "Hey, that's not a good idea. Why don't we do it this way?" You go, "Listen, I know how to do things because I've done it my whole life," the Holy Spirit, right? You know, if the Holy Spirit made you, if you think he can make you do anything, then you're a little mistaken, because he would be making everybody give and their tithes and offerings and stuff like that. Praise the Lord. That was just a joke. I'm trying to make up for the jokes I don't have this morning. But the Holy Spirit doesn't make you do anything. He speaks to you. He leads you and he guides you. All right. So Ephesians chapter 3. Let's go there. Verse 14. I know I read this weeks ago, but we need to go back to it and understand this a little more. So it says, for this reason, Ephesians 3:14, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, ready, to be strengthened with might. The Greek word for might is dynamite. So he wants to strengthen you with dynamite power. He says, through his Spirit, in the inner man. The inner man in the Greek is your person, your personality, your character. So what he wants to do is he wants to fill you, strengthen your inner man with dynamic power, dynamite power. He says that amazing power, he says it's by the Holy Spirit. And we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which I read last week, is that his Spirit joins with your spirit. Right? Remember? Amen? Yes? Remember? His Spirit joins with our spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. His Spirit has joined with our spirit. So remember I said this, when the fall happened, right, roles got reversed, correct? Just to bring you up to speed. The flesh became dominant, right? The Spirit took a back seat, right? And so when God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, he said, okay, now you're going to have to depend on your flesh and your intellect. He goes, because your spirit is dead. And he says, you know, through the sweat of your brow, this is how you'll make, you know, you'll get food, you'll have to till the ground, you have to do these things, because their spirit was dead. And so when Jesus came, the reason why we're supposed to be born again is because your spirit needs to be born again, because it was dead. And so when your spirit is born again, then it goes the other way. Now your spirit is dominant, and your flesh now takes a back seat, or should take a back seat. We'll talk about that today. Your flesh should take a back seat, and now your intellect, right, your feelings, your mind, your emotions, your intellect, now sit in the middle to kind of decide, all right, which way am I going? You know, but now you have something called the Spirit of God living inside of you to speak to you. Now he speaks to you. He leads you. He guides you. He tells you things. And his power is in there. So he says that his power is now in us, and it changes our personality. It's real important. You know, there is no lasting change without the Holy Spirit. Because when he comes in you, he changes who you are. You'll never be the same again when you meet Jesus. You can't be the same again, right? Because something happens on the inside that explodes, and God resurrects you, so to speak. He improves you, but he resurrects your inner man, and now your inner man can be dominant. Now you can be led by the Spirit. Now you can hear from God. But here's the important thing. If you don't listen to God when he tells you to do something like change your attitude, he won't speak to you to lead and guide you. Amen? And the reason is because he wants to fix you. It's more important for him to make you a person of great character, of great personality, than he is to just, you know, say, well, you know, thus saith the Lord, you know, prophesy to this person, you know, say this to that person. You know, that takes a back seat to him taking care of who you are, improving yourself, resurrecting the inside, so you become a better person. Amen? You know, here the key thing is, Jesus said this is how people will know you. He said, well, know you are a Christian is by the love you have. And that love only comes from the Holy Spirit. Your physical love is limited, but godly love is greater than anything. Right? 1 Corinthians 13, we read it all the time during our wedding ceremonies. But it's amazing how we want that love during our wedding ceremony, but we forget about it during the marriage. Amen. The love that conquers all, right? The love that is kind, the love that has virtue in it, the love that it's perfect. It's God's love, not our love. Our love is limited, but his love is unlimited. His love has overlooked all of our sins. His love covers a multitude of sins. His love doesn't think about the bad things you've done. His love actually caused God to have amnesia. Didn't he say that he forgets our iniquities? He forgets our sins. He removes them as far as the east is from the west. And he says, in your sins I will remember no more. What does that mean? God just completely forgets. He hits the delete button on the part of your brain, on his brain, and he forgets your sins. I know that's real kind of, you know, not theological, right? But God literally forgets your sins. You see, people don't understand when God says that he is not a man that he should lie. God can't say anything that has falsity in it. There's nothing that he can say that is false. He cannot. Because everything that God says, something happens. Let me say this a different way. If God said, you know, if you said to God, well, God, you know, I don't agree with you. It says, okay, well, how about I just tell you that the moon is really not a moon, and, you know, it's just a flashlight up in the sky. Guess what happens? The moon turns into a flashlight. Because everything that God says happens. His word does not return void. It never returns void, but it goes and it prospers and it succeeds the very thing he sent it to. So God cannot lie. The reason why he cannot lie, because if he does, it'll change. Does that make sense? Well, just soak that in for a while. We'll come back next week and we'll talk about it again. Think about why God cannot lie. Not because he doesn't want to lie, because if he says anything that is untrue, it will happen. Every word out of his mouth creates, does something. The world was created, and God said. Everything here, this, is God's voice. Now, he didn't say, make a pulpit. But the material, God said, boom, everything was created. The earth, heavens and the earth were created by what he said. Everybody with me? Kind of understand that? Okay, so that was a side journey. Let's go back. So he helps us in our inner man. He changes our personality. So let me give you an example. Peter, remember the guy Peter? Remember Jesus said, you know, Peter, you will deny me three times. And, you know, Peter at that point, was afraid of chickens. He never passed by Chick-fil-A because as soon as that chicken crows three times, I'm out of here, right? So Peter was afraid of chickens. So, but when the cock crowed three times, Peter denied him three times, right? He said, no, right? He said, Jesus said, Peter, you will deny me. Peter said, no, I won't. Yes, you will. No, I won't. What did he do? He denied him three times. But something happened when he was filled with the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came on him, it changed him. Not only did he not deny him, but he actually, it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, he actually stood up, he lifted his voice amongst the people, and he declared Jesus Christ. That was only a 40-day span, and the only difference between those 40 days was the Holy Spirit coming on him. The Holy Spirit will change who you are. When he fills you, he does something to you. He makes you a new person. Listen, God has a great track record of taking a bunch of losers and turning them into champions. He did it for me. Paul said he was the chief sinners. He was the worst of the worst. I'll throw myself in there. We're all the worst of the worst. But Jesus came and he died because he loved us. And he turned a bunch of losers into a bunch of champions. We're now Christians. We're born of God. We're children of God. God elevated us to something different. Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know Jesus rides Harleys, right? That's why he says Hallelujah. Or he's from South. The South, sorry. Hallelujah. Stick with the sermon, right? I was doing so good. Why did you have to do that? So listen, so when your inner man is strengthened, you will no longer be dominated by your flesh. Let me say it a different way. When your spirit is weak, your flesh is strong. When your spirit is strong, your flesh becomes weak. So that should tell you something. Now listen, we spend, in the United States, we spend, I think the number is $6 billion a year on gym membership. And that's simply to make this outside look good. That's all it is. Right? And I know some of you, you're very impressed with the way you look. Right? How many of you spent time? Ariana, I don't even want to mention how long she spends in front of the mirror with her makeup. The other day, it was Thanksgiving morning, we were all sitting in the living room. I looked at her, who are you? She goes, I don't have my face on. I didn't recognize her. That's it. Did I say that? Who are you? Who? Are you one of my kids? So a lot of us spend a lot of money to make the outside look good. Didn't 1 Timothy, Paul tell Timothy, he says, bodily exercise profits a little bit. It does profit, but it profits a little bit. So instead of spending all that money and time on how you look on the outside, how about spending a little time building up the inside? Because listen, the outside will show people, the world, something that may not be existing on the inside. But what's in here? The Bible says this, Proverbs says this, that, let me see, it says, the spirit of a man will sustain him, but a broken spirit who can bear? That's Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man, listen, it's not your outside, it's not all your muscles and your six pack that's going to be able to help you withstand what's going on in the world today. It's what's going on the inside that's going to help you sustain, maintain, and move forward and break through all the problems you're going through in life. When all hell is breaking loose on your life, you don't start freaking out. You declare, nope, I believe God. I'm standing on the rock. He's been there for me before. He'll be there for me now. He didn't let me down before. He's not going to let me down now. God, his word works. Amen. You know, listen, the purpose of this world is to beat up your flesh, is to make you weak so you can sin. Let me read something to you. I wrote this down. It's pretty interesting. I like it. It says this. Someone wrote this. Being rude, nasty, is easy. It takes no effort. Just let it fly. You know anybody who has no filter, whatever they feel, they just say it? Right? You know, well, and then the excuse is, well, I'm just Italian. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Somebody said, I think Brian said that to me the other day. You know, we're just Italian. We just do. Che dici, capisce? But oh, hey. Hey! You see what I mean? Now they're going to go break my kneecaps. Huh? So listen. Yeah, but they're mostly Greek. You ever see people, they're just, you know, they're mean, they're nasty, they snap, and you confront them, and what is the first thing they say? Well, that's just the way I am. You know, whether you like me or leave me, that's just the way I am. All right, God loves me the way I am. No, God loves you so much that he doesn't want to leave you the way you are. God wants to change you. So let me finish reading this. It says, being rude and nasty is easy. It takes no effort, just let it fly. Others see it as a weakness. You see it as who you are. But being kind and considerate shows great discipline and a strong inner man. That's pretty interesting, right? Because listen, you ever hear people say, I just got to bite my tongue. That's discipline. If you didn't have discipline, you just let it fly. Correct? How many of you used to have a mouth like a trucker? Don't raise your hands. Oh, you did. Kim was the first one. Me! Wait, you didn't see me. Hand raised. Ushers, Anybody? No. So, right? But what you learned is, right, something inside you said, no, stop it. Right? It takes discipline to stop your mouth. It takes discipline to stop being mean. Right? Because the flesh just reacts. But the spirit is a little different. The spirit is supposed to be inside controlling all the members of your body. It's supposed to be controlling your thought life, right? And all this thinking that goes on, it says you renew your mind, the Bible says. So you're not conformed to this world. What does it mean to be conformed to this world? It means to just let it fly. It means to just let your flesh take over. But no, when you're born again, something different happens. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. Now he's the control center. He's running the ship. He's telling you what to do. But it's your job to listen. If you don't listen, then the Bible calls you a carnal Christian. Think about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says this. He says to the Corinthians, you know, I should speak to you as spiritual men, but you're nothing but carnal Christians. A carnal Christian is an oxymoron. You know what an oxymoron is? Like a big shrimp. You know shrimp, right? Like a big shrimp, that's an oxymoron. Everybody know, you understand, right? So an oxymoron is a carnal Christian. That means you're a fleshly Christian. No, you're supposed to be a spiritual Christian. Christians are supposed to be spiritual, not fleshly, not carnal. Carnal means like chili con carne. Means carnal. Carnal means you're fleshy. Paul, 1 Corinthians 3. Look at this. I think Kimberly needs to hear this. No, just kidding. She's like, yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at this. Verse 1. He says, but I, brethren, are you there? 1 Corinthians 3, 1. But I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So if you're carnal Christian, that means you'll never grow in Christ. I had a lot of people tell me, Pastor, I'm just not growing. I don't know what it is. Well, maybe because you're letting your flesh dominate. The Bible is really clear. To stay a baby means your flesh is dominating you. It's not because I'm not teaching you enough word. It's because you're not letting the word infiltrate your heart and take over your person. You understand the difference? It says you're just a babe. He says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive, and even now you're still not able. For you are still meaty. Carnal means meaty. You're still fleshly. You still let the F-bombs fly. Excuse my French. You still let your attitude go. You still can't control your temper. You're still just nasty. And he's like, when are you going to grow up? He says, because there's so much more in Christ that you need to learn, that you need to go through. There's so much joy being a Christian. There's so many blessings in God. But he says, you're limiting yourself by being a babe. I have so much to teach you, he said. He said, you're still carnal. Look, for where there's envy and strife and divisions among you, you are not, are you not carnal? Behaving like mere men. So the world can't tell the difference between a Christian and a regular person. Why? Because you're still fleshly. You do everything the world does. But no, a Christian should have discipline in the inner man. So when stuff flies, you're like a rock. When the world's falling apart, you're like a rock. We're not moved by what we see, the Bible says. We moved by God's word, by faith in God. Amen. Oh, that's good preaching. Praise Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Watch this. I know this is the day of Pentecost. Watch this. I want you to look at this from a different viewpoint. You see, the Holy Spirit is here to improve your life, to make you live better. It's not PC. There's another guy, I forget his name, another scholar, said this about the Holy Spirit. The word paraclete means, in Greek, literally somebody walks alongside. That word is used for a lawyer, an advocate in the courtroom. And I forget who said this years ago. Another theologian said this. The number one role of the Holy Spirit is that he is an expert in courtroom protocol. He's an expert in courtroom protocol. So in other words, when the devil, the accuser, the prosecutor, comes and accuses you of sin and shame and guilt, the Holy Spirit shows up and says, wait a minute, let my client plead. And then the client has to listen to the lawyer, right? You ever see a client, you know, a defendant? The lawyer's whispering in his ear, telling him what to say. How do you respond? The judge says, how do you respond to the prosecutor's, whatever they call it, charges? Right? So the Holy Spirit, the advocate, is sitting by your side and saying, okay, here's how you're going to respond. Ready? I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Your Honor, the Holy Spirit stands up, right? My cousin Vinny stands up. Yous guys, the two youths. He says, now we're talking Italiano. Vinny Gumbats. He says this. He says, listen. He says, my client, yes, what the prosecutor, the devil, is saying is true, but my client is pleading the blood of Jesus. And according to the blood of Jesus, my client is innocent because Jesus paid the price for his sin. God. He's an expert in protocol, in courtroom protocol. He knows how to plead. There, you had Acts chapter 2 yet? That was just extra stuff. Okay, ready? Let's fill in. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Ready? Watch this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and each one sat on each of them. Ready? So this is when the Holy Spirit came and filled them, came on top of them. Ready? Watch this. The very first reaction when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let me say this way. I'm not preaching on tongues. Let me say it this way. The very first thing when the Holy Spirit hits you, he's going to do something to your mouth. I want you to notice this. God's super hit our natural, and they couldn't even verbalize it. They spoke in a heavenly, in a heavenly language. They spoke in something foreign to everybody. Why? Because God super filled them up so much, it went in and it just came out as in tongues. Let me say it this way. When the Spirit of God fills you, he's going to fill your mouth with victory. He's going to put victory in your voice. You will not be the same. If you're depressed, if you're sad, if you're broke, if you have a pity party, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, he changes your inner man and you begin to see who you are in Christ. He shows you what Jesus did on the cross for you, why he paid the price, and what he gave us. Remember, there was a great exchange on the cross, right? He became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. He became sick that we may become healed. He became poor that we might become rich, right? He became depressed that we may become joyful. There was a great exchange that took place on the cross. And so what the Holy Spirit does is when he fills you, he shows you what Jesus did for you. He reveals it to you, and you can't help yourself but declare, my God is a good God. I'm alive with Christ. I'm no longer down or depressed. I know I'm going to make it. I know God's got my back. I know I'm going over. I know I'm blessed and not cursed. I know I've been made righteous. I've been forgiven of all my sins. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. It changes. His Spirit fills your voice with something brand spanking new. Listen, here's a litmus test. Here's a litmus test to know when your flesh is taken over and you need a recharge. How you feeling? That's it. It's done. Ugh. You know, you can tell exactly where you're at spiritually by what's coming out of your mouth, when you start to say, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Oh, just another Monday. Oh, thank God you got another Monday. I know people didn't make it to tomorrow. We just had Thanksgiving. It's an everyday thing. I'm thankful I could be amongst brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. I'm thankful that we can worship this morning. I'm thankful that we can sing to the Lord this morning. I'm thankful that I can still preach the gospel every Sunday morning. I'm thankful that I have breath. I'm thankful that I'm above ground and not beneath the ground. Amen. Listen, my mom had cancer at 40. She was supposed to be dead at 44 years old. She's still alive 30 years later. Right? Miss Annie, same thing. God's healed her body. Come on. We have so much to be thankful for, and yet we get all wrapped up in the flesh. If we've made it this far, God's not going to let us down. He's going to make sure we make it all the way. How does he do it? You listen to the Holy Spirit. You listen to his guidance. The biggest mistakes you'll ever make is because you made them. It's because you decided to listen to yourself, and you didn't listen to the genius who's living inside of you. And you all know you made those mistakes. I know I knew I shouldn't have done it when I did. Something inside of me was telling me not to do it, but I did it anyway. When Janice and I, before we moved to Oklahoma to go to Bible school, we wanted to sell our house, right? We wanted to sell our house. We had bought a house. We wanted to sell it. This is 30 years ago. And guess what God did? God sent a buyer within a few days. And they were going to give us $40,000 more than we were asking. What do we say? Well, maybe we'll just rent it. That decision cost us the house. We rented it. The people stopped paying. They foreclosed on the house. I'm in Oklahoma going to Bible school, and my house is being repossessed. It's being repossessed. Why? Because I thought, you know what? Let me just make an income. God would say, no, I gave you 40 grand. And I went to God and I'm crying, Lord, you got to bail me out, bail me out. And he said, no, you didn't listen to me. I sent you a buyer. Supernaturally, he was going to give us $40,000 more than we were asking. And we said no. That's why I know sometimes it's better, even though it doesn't make sense up here, it just makes sense. It's right, God, because God knows the end from the beginning. He said, no, do it now. Why? Just do it now. Do what I tell you to do. Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me give you one more scripture. Acts chapter 4, verse 8, and we'll end there. I hope you're learning something. The Holy Spirit is not here just to make you jump and shout and fall on the ground. We pray for people, they go down, right? But he's not here for that. He's not here for the antics. He's really here for you. He does that. I love when he does that. I love to see people get knocked down and look stupid. But listen, that's a tip of the iceberg. What he loves to do is to lead you and guide you into all truth. He loves to see you prosper, to succeed. He loves to hear testimonies like Isaiah. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 4. Remember this guy, Peter again, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Once again, he's a different man. The Holy Spirit will make you a different person. He'll change you if you let him. And all he wants to do is improve your life. All he wants to do is make you happy, successful. Amen? From a young man who grew up in poverty, God has taken Isaiah to a whole new place. You ever hear of the kinsman redeemer in the Bible? Well, here's a young man who's going to redeem his entire family. Because his mom prayed. His mom would be on her knees praying for him. I remember, I don't know how we're going to pay for college. God did it. Because that's the Holy Spirit's work. He's amazing. He's your best friend. If you just listen to him, He'll make everything work out for you. You may not get it, but just trust Him. If you have faith in God, just trust Him. Amen.